The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's Friday, and it's hour two on the Chuck Oliver Show. Hour one, very busy. We had a good friend of mine, Marty O'Malley. He is the director. We had him on. He is the director of Larche Mobile, LARCHE, Larche Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. And it is the Mobile, Alabama location for a worldwide organization. It's a home where adults with and without brain injuries live in community together. And we are having a fundraiser next Thursday night, a college football celebration, and it's virtual, digital, one more time. It was the same thing last year. It was live 2 years ago when I was there, and I plan on being there live in person going forward. But, again, it is next Thursday night, and it's on the YouTube channel. And so if you want some information about that, how maybe you can watch it. I mean, I'm on the program. Okay, here's who else is on the program. Reese Davis. Brett Bielema, Brian Harsin, Lane Kiffin. Did I say Phillip Rivers? Yeah, just a bunch of folks that you want to. Ivan Mazel. So I think there's nine speakers total on the docket, and it's free. And so if you want to go get more information about it again, just go to the Larche Mobile YouTube channel. We had Tom Luganville on as well from ESPN, and you know him, sideline reporters at national games, a lot of ACC in the past as well. We can talk recruiting with him. We also talk draft and quarterbacks and everything else today. It was a lot of quarterback conversation as well as transfer portal. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Jeff Cameron from our Tallahassee affiliate down yonder. And we're going to talk FSU football with Jeff Cameron, host of the Jeff Cameron Show every afternoon. And then also bottom of the hour, Drew DeArmond from 97.7 ESPN in Huntsville to talk a little Tide. But right now, I'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football. Every single day, this is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, ACC distributes record $487 million. Wow. What a headline. Wait a minute. I thought we were in a pandemic the past year. How did the ACC distribute a record $487 million? Because these are the final figures from the 2019-2020 financial year. And so when you look at the financial year, it cuts off right after the shutdown. And so you got most of the money, including the that's when they launched the ACC network was 19. So you got the big bump there across the – now, it's kind of weird in the ACC because I can look at the distribution, for instance, in the SEC and say, well, because they divided up equally, what's the total? All right, divided by 14, that's what everybody got. Can't do that in the ACC. There are slight differences, like Clemson played in the college football playoffs. They got more. But – there are also – there's an overall difference in how you divide it up because there's Notre Dame. And Notre Dame in 2019 and 20 didn't play ACC football, not as a conference member. So the average per school was $32 million. Notre Dame got another $10.5 or $11 million for their – because they're ACC except for football. So it was an overall increase of $42 million. Now, obviously, the numbers that will get released a year from now for the 2020-21 financial year, oh, they will look different. But the ACC, the point is that their money actually went up, including the tail end of the pandemic, and it is projected to continue that way. And if they're going to catch up to the SEC and Big Ten, for instance, they got some catching up to do. They're about $10 million behind. Headline, Texas commit Jaden Blue opts out of senior season. Four-star running back out of Texas, Klein Kane High School. Four-star running back, 2,000-yard rusher, committed to Texas 3.5 months ago. One of Steve Sarkisian's first commitments for the 22 class, he has announced, I'm not playing my senior year of high school. Played 11 games last year, six of them he went for 200-plus yards. Averaged 9.5 yards a carry. Was a 10-9-100 guy on the track team. As a freshman. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to train. I'm going to get ready for college football. Consider yourself up to date. I want to give some specifics because I try to be honest, folks. I don't follow recruiting drill down until we get about, actually, you know when? Championship Saturday, playoff bids go out. We talk about bowls and seeds and playoff, and we project all that stuff. And then about a week and a half before the early signing period, now, we have Rusty Mansell on. We had Chad Simmons. We have all kinds of recruiting folks on. The reason we have them on is because they do recruiting full-time. About a week and a half before the early signing period, we start really drilling down with it on air. And I was mentioning LSU, and I wanted to fill in some gaps here because if there's an LSU fan who's not a recruit, Nick, and they're like, no, Chuck, help me. I need this information. That's why I listen to your show. Fair point. The June 4th event in Baton Rouge, I told you that there are three five-star offensive linemen there. Three five-star linemen there. The additional five-star is offensive tackle Cam Dewberry out of Texas. And he has been joined by two other five-star linemen, another offensive tackle, Kelvin Banks, and a five-star defensive end out of Florida, Shemar Stewart. So they'll have four five-star linemen on campus. Three five-star linemen on campus and a four-star as well. So they're loading up in the trenches, man, and that's what they're making the priority. And they're in Louisiana, so they're going to have great high school talent around all around them anyway. But they're going into Texas and Florida and just really loading up, as every school is trying to be. I mean, because they've hadn't had anything for over a year. So we're going to break, come back, and continue with college football talk next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
One of the things I have mentioned from time to time is wherever we happen to be on throughout the network, we're on in Louisville, Kentucky. We're on in Columbia, South Carolina, and Baton Rouge. For instance, I will never cover LSU better than the Baton Rouge station that has me on. And so I don't attempt to, and I want to get everything right, but I don't attempt to out LSU, the Baton Rouge station. That would be silly. They are boots on the beach. So what I try to do, I mean, everything's going to be accurate and correct, et cetera, and hopefully a little insightful. But it's to cover everything else that maybe isn't so concentrated, for instance, on an affiliate in Knoxville where it's like 90% UT. You know, it's 2 hours a day where maybe you spread things a little bit, you open the curtains. However, there are times where all I want is the local perspective because I'm on in Tallahassee. We know that. And I got three emails, and nobody sends emails anymore, but I got three emails. When you send an email, that means you're really angry. And it was three FSU fans who all wanted to know about why Mike Norvell is ranked so low in the preseason coaching list. And I was like, I didn't look and I don't care. Now, if you are a local host in a local market where your head coach has been slighted this way, I've done that, folks. I've taken 3 hours of call, 3 hours of calls about why is Mark Richt third in the SEC? I was like, folks, it's May. He's third in the SEC because the guy had to write something for his magazine. I want to welcome on now afternoon drive host who covers FSU far better than I ever will, 97.9 ESPN Radio Tallahassee. It's my good friend Jeff Cameron. Brother, how are you today?
I'm well, Chuck, and I tell you what I won't do is take 3 hours of calls about Mike Norvell's coaching ranking for a magazine.
Jeff, he's 44th.
You could put him 108th. I don't care. I'm not doing it because I get exactly what that's about. But, you know, it is true. That's what fans do in May is they usually typically delve into petty.
Absolutely. And they try to occupy themselves with the same thing. I mean, it's a little dance you have to do in like May, June, July. And so, I recognize it for such. And what I said, when I saw an email, I was like, oh, these people don't recognize this for what it is. Let's talk a little recruiting. And so much, you know, when we've had you on or I've talked to any FSU lately, it's been recruiting from the transfer portal. FSU got a commitment from a high school quarterback, AJ Duffy, and I got a text message that said, Chuck, this is significant. This is the highest rated quarterback since DeAndre Francois. I was like, that's like got to be 5-6 years ago. So talk about the significance of four-star quarterback AJ Duffy being committed.
Huge, absolutely huge. And that's actually a really legitimate story to talk about is this 2022 class and the visitors that are coming in June. There's some big names on here. It starts with Travis Hunter, obviously, who may be the best player in the country. And so the reason this resonates is that obviously Florida State went 3-6 a year ago, a COVID-ravaged first season for Mike Norvell and his staff. They were really never able to connect. It was a nearly impossible task. That doesn't typically resonate in recruiting, right? That, you know, there's no reason for a kid to then say, hey, I want to go to Florida State when I have offers from Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, you name it. But somehow, some way, this staff is resonating with recruits and finding a way to get their message across. And that includes getting four-star quarterback A.J. Duffy to verbally commit. And that is a big deal, Chuck. I got a similar text from one of my guys in the know about these kids, and he said the same thing. He said, hey, man, that kid can play. This is a big deal. You may have just got a real quarterback. And, you know, this isn't the kind of guy to sugarcoat things. So he's a dual-threat guy, obviously, and he's a guy that can really spin it. So I'll tell you this, most Florida State fans, and I know the coaching staff, is absolutely over the moon. The trick will be, obviously, to play well enough this fall to not have some of these bigger name players reconsider their verbal commitment to Florida State. If they hang on to these guys that they're gunning for right now, that they either have verbals from or about to have, this is going to be a top 10 class. And for Florida State, given where they've been, and we know how far this program has fallen, that would be a huge turnaround and a step in the right direction, to say the least.
Jeff, I don't believe this is a very provocative statement I'm about to make. I think it's kind of bottom line. FSU, if we look back over the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, FSU's been behind on most things, whether it's multi-year contracts at realistic pay for assistant coaches, whether it's the facilities. They've been behind. They've been late on most things. I'll give them credit. Is it the Apex program or FSU Apex program, name, image, likeness? They got out in front of everybody with that thing, and it's impressive, at least in the artist rendering stage, you know, the formative, the thoughtful stage of it. Name, image, likeness at Florida State is going to be an advantage for some of these kids.
Well, Chuck, they have to find ways here. This is what we've been talking about on the air on the Jeff Cameron Show for some time now, that they are, in fact, usually antiquated in their approach with many things. You can't afford to do that right now because you're at a financial disadvantage, so you got to be on the forefront with technology and the way you utilize digital and certainly any promotional item on social media and the way you come up with unique ways to lure kids to take a look at Florida State. And this is part of it. Their social media and in this case, the coaching staff, they've done a 180 from where they were just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. They've done a lot of things right lately, and that used to be a running joke that Florida State was going to screw this up too, or they were going to be last to the party, and they have not been that since Mike Norvell has arrived. So the overhaul, that's part of it, but it's in lockstep with everything they've done since they've arrived. The only thing they haven't done is obviously have an opportunity to go out and look good on the field, and obviously they're hoping to take a step in that direction this year. They're still limited, Chuck. This roster's not great. They're still small. They don't have great depth, so I'm not trying to paint a picture that Florida State's going to go out there and win nine games, but I do think they're going to look like an organized unit. They're going to look like a group that's pulling in the same direction, and they're going to be mentally tougher than they've been because I think they've bought in. And they see the evidence that Florida State is doing things differently.
And I think it was, about a month ago or so, the football ops building. Do you imagine, like, Jimbo saw that? He's like, wait a minute, I asked for that in, like, 2011.
Well, there's a misnomer about some of that. He did, and the first thing he asked for was the indoor practice facility, and they gave it to him, and they got it before, say, the University of Florida, who has more money and you know, certainly is thought of in a different light, at least in terms of the finances. So Florida State was out in front of that. They never said no to a lot of his requests. He wanted what he wanted when he wanted it, and he didn't want to hear the ways in which they had to raise money to get it. And so this became a very ugly public battle. He also hated the head of the boosters. Now the booster program has changed, and they've kind of, you know, modernized that and do it with the way that most universities do it now. So I think this was always on the horizon. Had he stayed, it would have happened, but it would not have happened as quickly as he wanted it to happen. So they've been planning this for a while. I thought it was interesting timing because they just came off a year where they lost a ton of money. And yet they're still moving forward with these plans, and they've been able to really – Mike Alford's done a really good job of raising money, and they've got people committed to this thing, recognizing that if you don't do this, Florida State will never be good again, guys. You're going to have to put your money where your mouth is and give back to the university.
All right, last thing, and I want to talk on field and how it plays out. Florida State, it's not going to get better until the offense gets fixed, until the offense gets better, until they get some sort of consistent production. I think that even in their worst times, they had horses on defense, and then by the third and fourth quarter, they had the fat tongues. We got about a minute left. Just talk about Norvell and the likelihood that we see it this season.
Well, you'll see better quarterback play. See, Jordan Travis was obviously an elite-level athlete running around making some plays, but he was not a consistent passer. He was not very good from the pocket on obvious passing downs. He was working behind a terrible offensive line. I think the offensive line will be improved. It won't be good, but it could be average. And Mackenzie Milton probably wins this job, and we know he can throw the football. So I think this becomes a better offense for those two reasons specifically.
Jeff Cameron, appreciate your time as always, brother. You have a good Friday and a good weekend, okay?
You do the same, brother. Be good.
All right, again, Afternoon Drive host down there at ESPN Tallahassee, host of the Jeff Cameron Show. So appreciate him coming on. And that's what it is. I mean, if you looked at, when I said the worst of times, I'm going to say the toughest season to sit there and watch as a Florida State fan, it might have been. See, it kept changing. You thought that it was so tough the final month of the Jimbo's final season, his exit, where you had to play a makeup game to qualify for a bowl, not even a good bowl. But they did it, and Odell went out, and I think, in fact, they did. They played Southern. No, that was actually replacing Willie.
Was it Louisiana Monroe? That's
exactly what it was. And so if you're a Florida State fan, you thought that was as tough as it was going to get. And then Labor Day night against, wasn't it Virginia Tech, Willie's first game on that Monday night? And I think Cam Akers had like a 90-yard run. They might have had 125 yards offense that night, it seemed like. And it redefined what the tough times were. And then the second year, really, I'm telling you, Florida State fans, I want something for y'all. I really do. It's too good of a program, too heritage, to not, you know, have something kind of turn around pretty dang soon.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We continue on a Friday, and Alabama, as is normal or has been normal, I think it's going to change. But as has been normal, Alabama will begin its season with a week one neutral site paycheck game. And it will be in Atlanta this year. The Crimson Tide will play Miami. And the big news, it was announced a few days ago. Maybe it was Tuesday. Maybe it was Monday. The kickoff times for just certain dotted huge games kind of skewing towards the early part of the season. But there were some college football kickoff times that were announced. Now Alabama's time, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 local time there in Tuscaloosa against Miami. And I have said there is no fan base. None. Can't compare. Clemson, but they don't play as many week one neutral site paycheck games. There's no fan base that has to be as wallet weary or Amex weary or whatever weary as the Bama fan base. And they keep supporting and they keep showing up. And you know what the bigger kick in the pants is? When you play USC in Dallas, or you play, who they played in Atlanta, a bunch of people, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, whoever. When you play Louisville in Orlando, I think it was, the ticket that might be $95 or $115 on campus, brother, it's like $275 in Atlanta or Dallas or Orlando. And so it's that. A lot of times it's an SEC championship game, and then plenty of years it's two playoff games. God bless the Alabama fan base. I want to welcome on right now a good friend of ours, me personally and the program from 97.7 ESPN in Huntsville. It is Drew DeArmond. Drew, how are you?
Good, Chuck. How you doing this afternoon, brother?
Doing all right. Talk about the fan base's wallet. Talk about that statement from Amex, because I know you and I mentioned this before, but, I mean, Bama fans, they keep answering the bell, but it's tough financially.
It is. It really is. A lot of times you have to make a choice, especially if you're going to go to – the semifinals or the championship game if they make the college football playoff. A lot of fans, you count on them winning the semifinal game, and they have impressively most years. Those haven't been close, and then go on to the championship game. But, of course, as you talked about it, I've already had friends that have ordered tickets to the Miami game. There are levels, but the best seats are, you know, $275 to $300.
My gosh.
Of course, I mean, this year they might be a little hungrier because, again, a lot of fans opted out with the COVID issues. I mean, personally, you know, even as a member of the media, I didn't get a chance to see Alabama play in person last year. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. There'll probably be a lot of people hungry to be back inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. And certainly the Alabama Athletic Department led by Greg Byrne is going to count on that because of the lost revenue and because of the Crimson Standard, where they're trying to raise a lot of money. They've raised over $400 of the $600 million that they've allocated. But, of course, that's going to be huge going forward to continue to enhance football and then, of course, basketball with what Nate Oates has done.
Continuing with Drew DeArmond from 97.7 ESPN Huntsville. Real quick, we're on probably half a dozen places throughout the state of Georgia. Brandon Turnage, tell any Georgia fan listening what their program just got from the former Crimson Tide cornerback who's now going to Athens.
Oh, a great athlete, first of all, Chuck. And I thought he had his best spring in an Alabama uniform. I think Nick Saban was really on him to push for a starting job. Certainly, he didn't win one, I don't think, of course. The Jalen Armour Davis, you know, seems to have been in the lead going into fall camp. And then you've also got Marcus Banks, who had two picks, including a pick six in the second to last scrimmage. And then you got Kool-Aid McKinstry, who they think has a lot of potential. But I will say, Turnage was always a guy that stood out. Good size, good athlete. He could just never find traction at Alabama. But certainly, Kirby Smart and those guys need some help in the secondary. They lost some guys to the NFL that moved on. And, of course, he was a really good special teams player at Alabama. So I think it was a worthwhile gamble for Kirby. I thought he really played well in the A-Day game especially also, which probably impressed Kirby and the coaches when they went back and watched that tape. So I think Turnage has got a lot of potential. He was just behind some talent in Tuscaloosa.
All right, let's move up one level because, you know, I found myself kind of ping-ponging mentally, Drew, after Henry Toa announced he's going to Alabama. I was like, man, plug and play, here we go. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm just looking at the fact that Dylan Moses isn't there. Alabama's got like five inside linebackers. Or edge guys. I mean, some of them have played both, whether it's the right move or not. But it's not like there's this gaping hole where Henry Toa, he's a great player, but it's not like there's this huge need at linebacker. They've had other kids step up in the spring as well.
Yeah, they did. I thought Jalen Moody, and you probably saw him, Chuck. He would have 2 years of eligibility left, you know, because of COVID. He was a guy that's kind of unheralded, a three-star recruit that was a late signing, really by the first recruit Pete Golding brought into Alabama. And when Dylan Moses had some injury issues last year, and especially when Christian Harris went down, he stepped up, especially in that Arkansas game on the road, and really played well. He can play both the mic and the will. I thought he had a really good spring. So that's what gave me some hesitation about Henry Toa. And, of course, because Deontay Lawson, the true freshman from Mobile Christian, who probably by the end of the year last year was the number one prospect in the state, just put on an unbelievable show this spring, getting reps with the ones and the twos. And just his mental retention was off the charts. And so you saw that. You saw Jackson Bratton. And so you kind of felt like Alabama had enough depth. But I think when it all came down to it for Nick Saban, you look at Henry Toa, who is a true freshman, was able to learn Jeremy Pruitt's scheme, call the signals, be the mic for the first 2 years. The schemes are very similar, and I think Coach Saban just thought he was too good to not bring into the program. Because as you know, Chuck, you follow recruiting on your show very closely. He chose Tennessee over Alabama, just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a quality addition, and I think it's going to make Alabama the top linebacker core, you know, inside and outside in college football.
A couple more questions with Drew DeArmond from 97.7 ESPN Huntsville. What you're saying there about just too good to pass up. Jameson Williams transfers down from Ohio State. We all know that, you know, you can't be some sort of bum and get a scholarship to play football at Ohio State. You got to have some pedigree there, some resume. But Alabama signed four receivers this year that I've heard folks compare to the four they signed back in 2017. And they still went and got Jameson Williams. What do you think they have in him?
Well, I think it's a speed guy with experience who's played in big games. As you know, Chuck, he had a touchdown catch for Ohio State against Clemson. He was getting more and more playing time this year. And then his numbers are a little skewed because Ohio State only played seven games. So I do think that he had come on this year. And of course, it's all back to prior relationships. Alabama recruited him when he was in high school. And I think the one thing with Coach Saban, I know JoJo Earl won't be there till May, and they've got Christian Leary, but I think Leary is still having some adjustments to the college level. I think when Nick Saban was checking the boxes off after spring, one of the things he wanted was a speed receiver with some experience. And once they knew this transfer rule was going to go into effect, they watched the portal very closely. And when Jameson Williams went into the portal, they were very aggressive in getting him. And I think they feel like he can help Bryce Young kind of blow the top off some defenses.
All right, I'm going to let you run with this a little while if you want to. John Metchie, we know he didn't go through spring, and that's fine. He doesn't need that. But we then skip to, so who took advantage? Well, Slade Bolden did practice. Slade Bolden played last year. And it's like we all just want to kind of jump past him and talk about, all right, who's next? No, tell everybody what you think Bama could have in Slade Bolden, like the best Slade Bolden there is. What does it look like?
Well, I just think, when you look at it, you look at Julian Edelman of the New England Patriots, and I think that's what Brian Daboll compared him to from his time with New England and Bill Belichick. And matter of fact, I was told he stood on the table for Slade Bolden to make sure they took him because he was headed to TCU and Gary Patterson from West Monroe before Alabama came in and got aggressive. LSU had passed on him. He's the kind of guy that's always been kind of underestimated, Chuck. He was a quarterback for most of his days at West Monroe. They moved him around to running back and receiver as well. But he plays with a little bit of an edge and an attitude. And I thought, you know, to be honest with you, Alabama had a couple of swinging points in the regular season last year, the turning points that were they continued to roll on and become national champions. I thought the biggest key play was Will Riker, 52-yard field goal at the end of the half against Georgia to cut the lead from 7-4 and give the coaches confidence that he could make long kicks. And then B, you remember first play of the game on the kickoff, Jalen Waddle goes down against Tennessee, and yet they plug Slade Bolden in. He goes on to have, you know, almost 100 yards receiving that game. And I just thought it kept the offense confident. It kept Sark confident. And they just continued. They had to tweak some things. But I thought Slade Bolden came in there and performed. And I thought it was a huge key to this offense. And I think he'll be a security blanket for Bryce Young in the fall.
All right, two things quickly if you have time. First one, John Metchie. I was just watching, going back and watching him on field. Well, he didn't have the ball. And it just continues to reinforce that he's about as tough and physical a receiver. I mean, certainly Alabama's had, I think, since Julio. But I was just watching running plays to his side. And I'm telling you, if you're a safety or an outside or defensive end, he doesn't care who you are. You better have your head on a swivel. If you got your eyes on a linebacker and you're running towards the sideline, he's going to light you up.
Well, just ask Trey Dean of Florida. That could have been a Daniel Moore painting.
That was after a pick, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It was a big play because it got Alabama the football back. And, you know, we were told last year in fall camp, Metchie was the most physical of the receivers and the best blocker. And there's no doubt. And then there were some guys like Devontae Smith did not shy away despite being 170 pounds from contact. And Jalen Waddle wasn't soft either. But we were told that John Metchie played with an edge. And I think that's what basically won him the confidence of Mac Jones. And we were told that he was going to break out. And it wasn't surprising. I mean, he had nearly 1,000-yard receiver. And you got to understand, he's a really tough kid, Chuck, because about half the year he had a high ankle sprain where he was in a boot and, you know, and didn't practice a whole lot. So he showed a lot of toughness. They let him heal up in the spring. He's going to be a huge part of it in the fall. He's going to be the de facto number one. There's going to be some other competitions you already talked about with Slade Bolden. And I think Trayshawn Holden and, of course, Ajay Hall. Everybody wants to see more of Ajay Hall after the little bit of a cup of coffee we got with him in the spring.
All right, last question. I was asking about, you know, actually before spring practice, I was like, who's the best lineman in Tuscaloosa? And after spring, I'm like, it's Evan Neal. And the cool thing is, this is going to be his third spot that he starts at, and he looks like he's been a left tackle since day one to me. Talk about the right side. Is it Kendall Randolph? Can he hold off the five-star children who are in Tuscaloosa now?
Well, I think I'm going to be really, anxious to see the progress of the on the right side. I like Damian George a lot. I think they've reshaped his body kind of like DJ Fluker. He came in at over 400 pounds. He's gotten down to under 350. He was at both right tackle and right guard in the spring, Chuck. So I think he's one of the best five right now. It just is going to depend on where he, you know, lands. Now, also, if you go back and chart Nick Saban's tenure, when you look at a Cam Robinson, when you look at Andre Smith, even though Andre was already in place, a James Carpenter, Jonah Williams, J.C. Latham, it's going to be really interesting to see how much progress he makes from the spring to the fall. Cam Robinson just improved by leaps and bounds and, of course, became a three-year starter and now is a very rich man in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if J.C. Latham can come on and win that job, I think Damian George goes to right guard. But if he continues to adjust along with Brockermeyer, then I think he may wait a year. But I would think that Damian George may be the right tackle. But those are the guys to watch to me. And then inside at right guard, a guy that really has impressed Coach Saban, he didn't play in the A-Day game, is Javian Cohen from Central Phoenix City. I think he and Tommy Brown are two guys to watch inside at guard with all this competition.
Was he was the previous Auburn commit, or am I confused?
He actually committed to South Carolina, then Auburn, and then ultimately signed with Alabama.
You know what? God bless him. I've said if you have an actual committable offer to Alabama as an offensive lineman, if you don't go, that's almost like recruiting malpractice on your part.
It really
I just, is. You know, any other position, knock yourself out. If you're an offensive lineman, go to Tuscaloosa. Drew, I always love talking to you, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Drew DeArmond from 97.7 ESPN Huntsville.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Why didn't Justin Fields work? Why aren't we more athletic? Why aren't we doing more with the quarterback's legs? Well, the comfort level has been a JT Daniels skill set in the mold of a Matt Barkley, in the mold of a Jake Fromm. So I think that you will get a very serviceable, competent passing game to offset the run game.
Tom Luganville from ESPN and other ESPN properties. He was on this here program way back in hour one. And we were talking about the possibilities in Athens. And we were talking about JT Daniels and play calling, et cetera. He's of a similar mind. We bounced all around the conference as well. But similar mind about what is possible for JT Daniels and the offense in Georgia and the 2021 season, no doubt about it. So I appreciate Tom coming on. We're going to have Dan Matthews join us in just a couple of minutes, but right now I will wrap it up with the closing argument.
King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
There's a huge money grab available for any college football program, or I'll say even a conference. And we should all hope whoever our school is takes advantage. Week zero is there for the taking. Week zero is almost always Fresno, UConn, Rice, Hawaii, etc. When we were given one of the very rare week zero gifts two seasons back, UF and Miami played. It not only gave both of those programs from, I'll say, Power 5 conferences, one of them from the Power 5 conference and one of them from an emerging Power 5 conference. Monster stages for their programs. But you know what else it gave? It also gave each team another bye inserted later into its schedule. If you want to talk about, now that's in the past, if you want to talk about what's possible going forward, South Carolina, I'll give them credit. Last thing they want is to be buried on week one Saturday with all the week one neutral site paycheck games. So several times South Carolina has opened on Thursday nights before 2 days before week one. What's another 4 days? And South Carolina was doing it for what reasons? To get out of the glut of games that they knew no one would watch them opposite on that Saturday. Well, if you can move all the way to week zero, again, it's only 4 days earlier. I know that they've had a couple Thursday night week one games, I think, with Vanderbilt. Maybe three. They had one with Southern Miss, I'm remembering. Maybe they were in Charlotte against NC State to start a season. I do remember they had that just awful, I was about to say night, that late afternoon game against Texas A&M, do you remember? When Trill announced his Heisman Trophy candidacy. Kevin Sumlin postgame, this was the first game without Manziel, quote, "I told y'all we weren't a one-trick pony. We are here to stay." Like, Trill got benched about 5 weeks later. But they tore up South Carolina. And that was a Thursday night week one game. That's a full-blown conference game. Two SEC programs would have benefited. Steal the weekend, Sankey. Jump on it, Swofford, or Jim Phillips, I guess. Is Jim Phillips already the commissioner? Yes, Jim Phillips is already the commissioner. Jump on it, ACC. Jump on it, SEC. It is a huge advantage. You get the bigger stage, plus the extra bye week after like week 8 or 9 that you normally wouldn't have. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. What up, Dan?
Oh, not much. And it turns out that it soon became the Kenny Trill to Kyle Allen show.
That was
it. And then they were both gone. And at least one of them is still tooling around in the NFL. Kyle Allen, good for him. So he's got that going for him. You know, one of the things that always really intrigues me is it's the kind of molding of coaching searches and how everything kind of fits in. And in college, in this case, it was a college coach at a prestigious program that is non-football that I was asking somebody earlier today that I know. Actually, me and you both know him. Our listeners don't, so I won't bother them with his name. But I asked, is so-and-so done at said school? And they said, I don't know, maybe, but I'll tell you what. If I'm anybody in the country, I ain't taking that job. And it is one of the prestige jobs in the country. And so with that said, it's one of the things that you look at a guy like Matt Campbell and the report that comes out yesterday, $68 million offered to him by the Detroit Lions. And people on the surface say, the hell are you doing? Are you crazy to not leave Ames, Iowa and go coach in the NFL? Worst case scenario, you get fired in 2 to 3 years. You can come back to college and you can pretty much have probably a better job than you have right now. And that's probably pretty true. But I think that he looks at it the same way that kind of Chris Peterson looked at it, is saying, why do I need to leave here? I have proven now that I can get to the BCS games. I can win said BCS games. Now, I'm not good enough to get to one of the first two jobs or one of the first two games or first two teams in the BCS. And now you just got to get inside the Final Four. And the same thing kind of rings true at Iowa State. They just won the Fiesta Bowl. That's good for them. That is the ceiling for them at Iowa State. Maybe you beat Oklahoma a couple of times. Maybe you beat Texas a couple of times. Maybe you make it to the Big 12 championship. And if you do those things, an extension is on your way. Job security is there. You're proving that you can win at a high enough level that the juice is not worth the squeeze to say, hey, you know what? I want to figure out what they have down there in Austin.
I want to, in a four-team conference, it's an interesting differentiator between like levels of jobs, not even coaches, but it's the job that that coach has, the school, the program he's the coach of. It is not hard at all to imagine an Iowa State Big 12 champion that the committee says that's the team we're leaving out. Like a conference champion Iowa State team, the committee has no qualms about that. Conference champion Florida, conference champion Bama, conference champion Texas, all of those teams, you get the conference championship, you're in. Iowa State, he's at a job where he could get left out.
Well, no, and Chuck, to your point, window selling matters very much in the college football playoff, and some people say they don't like it. For the most part, you do like it. You just don't know that you do like it. Chuck, he's not even the sexiest in his own state. No matter what he does, he will never overtake the Hawks, as they say in my mom's home state.
And it's funny, you think, well, that'll make it more likely that he would leave. I think he recognized dysfunction. And I also think that when a coach leaves and you have become a beloved figure at a college program, whether it's college basketball, football, whatever, if you leave for another school, your fan base, some of them will turn on you. Traitor, you left us. If you leave for the pros and then come back to college like you were saying, Dan, you kind of get it at that point. Like if Steve Spurrier would have left to go coach Alabama, Florida fans would have, what? He left to go coach the Redskins. Then he came back. Chuck Oliver Show wraps up on a Friday, wraps up for the week. A couple days, recharge those batteries. We will have more college football conversation for you coming on Monday.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.